good to be with you this evening. It's my intention to take us into a very sacred space tonight. This is the place where we live in our private, secret desires, and see if we can't explore this place and find out if it is in fact supporting us in creation or whether it's sabotaging. And as promised last week, we're going to spend time in what does it take to create passion. Now, it's easy to identify when you see it. This isn't frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. This is somebody running around like a chicken with their head cut off. This is purpose-driven inaction, almost unable to sleep. Very excited about life. Very excited about the business, the message, the way you can change people's lives. Clearly vision-driven. When passion occurs, and you'll hear this a few times tonight, when it is ignited, it will drive focus. Just think about when we're not focused and we're like shotguns. Focused, disciplined, embracing structure and order, and effort. As James Allen said, the reward is equal to the effort, and action, passion-driven action. This isn't work. It's a very interesting thing that many people who have this ability to generate passion intuitively, instinctually, don't think about the actions they take as being work. It's one of the reasons why it's seldom mentioned. The Bob Proctors of the world, I think I've mentioned this before, amazing human being. You'll hear more about visualization than you will work, because Bob is a natural, intentional creator. He doesn't think about the other part as work. That's fun. That's exciting. That's creating that vision and making it come alive and dealing with powers greater than himself in which the universe manifests in so many different ways to make that happen. Well, I want to demystify that tonight. And I was smiling as I was pondering this today. I remember speaking not too long ago. I was in the town for the third time for a specific company that asked me to come and speak. Sacramento, it happened to be. And I was speaking, and I could see this young man about two-thirds of the way down on the right-hand side just leap out of his chair as though he just got it. It was so dramatic, I stopped what I was doing and asked him what had just happened. And he said, "I finally get it. I've heard you speak three times, and I finally get it." What's exciting is tonight's call is being recorded. So if you don't get it all during this conversation, go back and listen to it until it finally registers, because we're going to talk about some things that are antithetical to how you normally might think, just the opposite of how you think or how you think you've been taught to think. Now, if we can get in this sacred space successfully tonight, I don't want this to be a lecture I'm going to share with you, but if you have a question or a concern or clarity that you require, please just say, Dave, just press star 6, come off of mute, stop me. And let's make sure that we don't build more tonight than you can handle, because we've got lots of weeks ahead. Good evening. Welcome. We have a few still arriving. So we're going to start in this sacred space. We all have a desire to be successful in whatever company or endeavor that you're involved in. As I mentioned last week, there are many companies represented on the phone this evening. In all of those very worthy projects, everyone wants to be successful. We have hopes and we have dreams, and we invest our time and we go to meetings and we participate at very high levels and quite often at expense to our family, our pocketbooks, all in a desire to create something extraordinary, to finally reach a point where there's time freedom and financial freedom. And I want to start by defining those two items tonight. Time freedom for some has been, I don't have a schedule, I can do whatever I want to when I want to. Well, here's a new definition for time freedom, because, by the way, that place doesn't exist unless you're on welfare, and then your options are quite limited financially. Time freedom is the ability to choose your own schedule. It's not to live without a schedule. It's the right, it's the ability to choose your own schedule, to be your own boss. So many times I've heard as I've traveled around the country, I fired my boss. And I keep thinking, I hope you hired yourself. Because we all need someone to be in charge. And isn't it wonderful when that person can be you? But absent you being the boss and having fired another boss, time freedom becomes I can be in my bunny slippers at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. However, I'll be wondering what happened to my business. Where is it? Why is it not manifesting? So very clearly, time freedom is simply you being able to choose how you spend your day versus someone else. It's not spending a day without a schedule. In other words, you can say, I want to go to that soccer game, so I'm going to do my calls here and my meetings there so that I can free up that spot, and I don't have to ask for anyone's permission to do that. I can make that choice. That is tremendous freedom. But time freedom is not just being free to do whatever you want, to waste your day. Ogmandino said in scroll number 5, I'm going to seal up its container of life so not one drop spills upon the sand. Oh, each day is so precious. So that's time freedom. Financial freedom, I've often heard people say, I want to be able to buy whatever I want to buy, whenever I want to buy it. Well, I'm sitting here in my home office. I'm looking out the window and some marvelous people and places they live. And I can tell you there's not one person, not one, who lives that way here. Not one. Everyone here very carefully budgets their funds. They consider them sacred. It's a trust that they manage. Now they are able to pay cash for something when they want it, and it's appropriate, but they'll go, okay, Range Rover. What's my tax benefit? Well, we've kind of lost those tax benefits, so, okay, do I want to spend $90,000 on this car and all of a sudden it's depreciated to $35,000 or $40,000? Is it worth $50,000 of asset that could be put to work to generate passive income that frees up even more time and money? Do I want to do that? It becomes a very methodical and careful process. Those who frivolously spend their money generally don't keep it. It goes through their hands like water. So when you think time freedom, financial freedom, may we tonight, in the context of intentionally creating your dreams so that you can live them in tangible reality, that we change our definitions if necessary. Time freedom, I get to choose how I spend my day, but I spend it productively. I choose where I spend my money, but I use it wisely. I see it as a fiduciary responsibility, something to manage. I bless lives with it. We had an occasion just this last weekend. We had three beautiful couples, one from Chicago, one from Montana, and one from Atlanta, that we invited to fly into town. We picked them at the airport. We went up and spent 2.5 days at our cabin in Bear Lake, and one day, an all-day ATV ride up in the tops of the mountains. And the next day, we spent the whole day on the lake, on the boat. It was a wonderful thing. And what I said to them on Saturday morning is, we're about to get out the boat. It's a nice boat. It's a Wake Setter, 247, Malibu. Very nice boat. And I said this to them. I said, I don't want you to be impressed by the boat, because it's not about you being impressed by the boat. It's about all of us being able to enjoy this wonderful asset. It's a wonderful asset. and we want to share it with people and use it, because I still get giddy when I'm driving it. This isn't about me. This is about us having a great experience. That's what you do when you create wealth. You share it. You bless lives. You bring couples together. You work on marriages. That's what I do. Other people may do other things. So you want to be wise with your dollars, that you use them carefully, that you don't just try to create a facade to impress potential prospects, that you actually have substance to your wealth. So time freedom, financial freedom. Now, if that is our objective in part, the next piece we're going to want to explore is, what is our ultimate why? Now, I've reviewed part of this with you in previous weeks, but I want us to ponder it again in the context of what we're discussing tonight. If you had $1 million and you had to spend it in 24 hours and you could not invest it, what's the first thing you would do? Just write it down on a piece of paper. What's the first thing you would do? And notice if it's altruistic in nature. Is it about helping people? Is it about getting a car for dad or paying off dad and mom's home because they plan poorly for retirement? Is it about helping a sister or brother or the neighborhood or a cultural group in a community or somebody in another nation? Is that where you first go? That's okay. Just be aware that most of the time, please don't be offended by this, but most of the time that we go into this space, it is because we have a worthiness issue about money. We have to do something good with it before we can do what we really want to do with it. Just be aware of that. Because if you're going to give, the question you want to explore is, how much am I giving now? If you're part of a church and you pay a tithe, you pay 10% of all the money you make, net of business expenses. You pay a couple $100, maybe $50 now and then, maybe a 20, maybe a 5. Maybe you put in a 10 and pull out a 5 for change. What is it? How much are you giving? Because the percentage you're giving now will be the same percentage you'll give when you have more money. Because you'll never, if you don't have enough now, you'll never have enough. It's just the truth. So we have all these glorious things we're going to do with the money. The question is, what are we doing today? Because it will always be today. 10 years from now, it'll still be today. What is going to gobble up the money is what you do with the next million. And million now is hardly any money. If you had a second $1 million and all the altruistic things, all the things you want to do to help people are all taken care of, mom and dad, brother, sister, everyone's done. And I said to you, okay, now, here's $1 million. You have 24 hours to spend it. You cannot invest it. You cannot pay off debt. You must spend it on things. What's the first thing you would buy? Let's write it down. What's the first thing you would buy? I might prompt you by asking questions like, what color is it? What model or make is it? How many square feet does it have? Is it by a lake or the ocean? Now, not everybody has a thing. Some people just want peace of mind, but you must spend it on something. What would it be? And be deadly honest with yourself, because what you're going to get in touch with, if you'll do this exercise, and it may be difficult to do it in this moment, but ponder this tonight. When you're lying in bed and everyone's asleep, and if that's one of those moments where you just kind of freewheel, and you go into that space where it's safe to finally explore what you really want for yourself, what is it? Because I want you to identify whatever that is as your secret desire. That's your real why. Right now. That's your real why. So many of us say, well, my family, pull out our pictures. Here's my husband and my children, or my wife and my children, or here's my mother or my father, or my brothers, my sisters. This is my why. However, that same person may not be producing in the business. If that is the why, and it's not creating passion that drives focus and discipline, effort and action, it is not the why. It's a noble cause, but it's not the why. The why is that secret desire, that car that you really want, that house that you really want, that lifestyle that you really want. That's the why. Now, I've seen some people, when I've taken them through this process, even one-on-one, reluctant to speak it out of shame. Don't be ashamed. Nice things are wonderful. It's wonderful to be in a beautiful home. It's wonderful to drive nice cars. It's wonderful to have vacation homes. Those things are wonderful. And if they're used properly, they can bless lots of lives. It's a wonderful thing. You just want to say, that is my secret desire. That's really what I want. And be honest about it. Because we want to now tailor how we look at it and approach it, because it is the next element that gets us in trouble. You see, when we pretend like we care about people, when really all we want is more money to go do that secret desire, it's called duplicity. It's called double-mindedness. There's a great book called The Speed of Trust. Steve M. R. Covey wrote it. And one of the four cores of credibility is your intention and whether or not you're duplicitous. Because if you are, there's an energy around being duplicitous that can be discerned by others. They may not know what it is. They're just uncomfortable. Quite often when we are that way, we're often asked the question, how much money do you make? You'll know when you're no longer duplicitous, because you'll seldom get asked the question. So if you're getting asked that question a lot, then there's a possibility that there's a difference between your secret desire, that thing you'd buy with that $1 million after everything else has been taken care of, everybody's been helped. What would you do with that money if you had to spend it on something? Well, it is that thing. The difference between that and what we project to the person that we are marketing to. One more thing on duplicity. I was talking to a client recently about his organization. He had a fairly significant organization. And he was feeling uncomfortable because he really found himself loving the one he was with. It's very common. And I think we even discussed this a little bit last week in our call. That is a risk. And some of the things that we can do to serve our organization by staying in touch with them with technology, and with a technique I'm going to teach you tonight, we can, in fact, continue to love them. Here's the question you want to ask as we're going into this discussion and the why. Is your why, this is kind of a clever way of saying it, so don't be offended by this clever way of saying it. Is your intention to get 5,000 people to build you a castle? Or is your objective to build 5,000 castles? If it's the latter, you'll have enough money to build the biggest castle on the hill, no question. There are some who can succeed getting 5,000 people to build them a castle. But the ones who live in abundance, who are really wealthy, well-being, who have full lives and great friendships, focus on building somebody else's castle. If you've got organizations where you help build their castle, you participate without even having to focus on yours. Oh, what a great gift. So let's get into this why just a little deeper. So now we have an idea. The secret desire is the why. That is your why. Now, why do you want that thing is the $60,000 question. Why do you want that car? Do you want that car so that you can feel better about yourself? Do you want that car because your self-esteem is damaged and that would help to artificially inflate it? Do you want to have that house so that you can finally have a place big enough, far enough away that you can have a closed gate and tell world to go to heck because you're sick and tired of dealing with people. You finally want to have your own tropical island. Is there any of that in that? Well, these are questions that we will truly want to ask ourselves, because at the core of these and the science behind the way the mind thinks, the answers to these questions will answer, why am I hitting brick walls? Why is my business not growing the way I want it to grow? What is going on here? And the answers to those questions are in the answers to the questions I'm currently asking you. Here's the word I want you to explore. Words. Escape and avoid. Escape and avoid. We'll want to identify if that secret desire has anything to do with escape and avoid. Or is it about engaging in life? Let's write that down. Embracing principles. Connecting with people. Creating value. And contributing to the world. Which is our application of the secret desire. What is it we really want? If it's escape and avoid, the way we can discover it is this. We want to know where you spend your time in your mind. As we discussed about 3 weeks ago, we can be fully present in the now, connecting with people, passion-driven action. We can be fully present in our mind, conscious. There's a consciousness almost beyond just the synapses in our mind, involved in the things we're going to talk about here in just a moment, the five things you can do with your mind to drive passion. Or we're over here in a gap. A gap in our terminology is this big void over here where we spend, most people spend most of their time. Over here, we're in fantasy. I've defined it for you before, but I want to make it clear tonight. Fantasy is any time we go to when and then live in then. When I have $100,000 a month, then I'll have the airplane. Then I can go scuba diving. And we start living those experiences very vividly. When and then, that's a fantasy. A fantasy could actually be an event that's 2 days from now. If you have a weekly meeting on Thursday night, for an example, and you've got people coming, when they come, then I will sell them, or then I will have sold them, and then I can buy carpet, and then I can pay off my debts, and then I can get a new car. When, then. See, intentional creators only go there, which I'll share with you in a moment, those five ways of doing it. They only go there to get clarity on what needs to be created. And then they come back and exercise what we call the millimeters of life, and they create the when. They don't spend any time there and beyond at all, ever. However, if you have had stress in your life and frustration in your life, and you've had maybe a bad relationship or a bad job or finances have been difficult, there's pain, whatever the source is, it's very natural to want to come to a company and go, wow, the guy on the stage is making $100,000 a month, and then we go home dreaming about a $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, $50,000 a month, $60,000. We've got to get to $100,000 to get our fantasies, our secret desires paid for. And so now by the time we get home, we're at $100,000 a month. We've got it all figured out and how we're going to spend it. And we're already vividly experiencing what that's going to be like. Now, is there anybody on the phone that's going, but isn't that what we're supposed to do? And I say, no. Not that way. Because the desire is to escape and avoid, to get to when and skip between now and then. Skip the effort and the action and the discipline that's required are some who have taught that the when can be manifested with visualization. Those people should be put in prison. There are those who teach visualization, believing that when a person gets the vision, they'll automatically take the action. Believing they will, they don't talk about it. However, here's the statistic. 97% of those actively seeking financial abundance, that would be everybody on the phone, 97% have a very active thought process, two of them actually in common, that create very vivid visualization. Very vivid. 98% of those, it's about 95%, have a desire to escape and avoid. They got into the company to finally make enough money to get above the stress and the pain. That's what they wanted. Hope no one on the phone is feeling hurt at this point. I don't want to offend a soul. This is so delicate. You'll hear me talk about this many more times over the next few weeks. In some degrees, pieces of it, because it is at the core of the challenge. I just spoke verbally. The single greatest challenge faced by 95% of those actively seeking financial abundance. 95%. It's 98% of the 97. They have got such pain, for whatever reason, that they just want to get above it all. And they saw this opportunity as the ticket to get there. And every time they go to a meeting, they get so excited and so pumped up that they go into this fantasy place of what it'll be like when and live in then, in the sailboat and the wave runners and the airplanes and the cars and the houses and the cabins and the lakefront properties and whatever it might be. And finally being out of debt and, oh, the peace that will come. What it's going to be like when? Has everybody got this tonight? It's important for you to know that you'll never get to when unless you know how to create between here, where you are right now. This is your current credit card statement, your current bank account, the current status of your business, the current, what's really true about it, not what your mind wants you to think, what's really true about it between here and the when. That's where an intentional creator spends their time, and that's where 2% of your leaders, 2% of all of those actively seeking abundance, spend their time. And that 2% are almost always the leaders. Almost always, because they are creating the millimeters instead of spending valuable, productive time escaping to the when and trying to live in the then it will be this. Now, that when can exist. Beautiful homes do exist. I'm sitting in one right now. They do exist. But they don't exist yet in your world. Unless you're in one. And don't be offended by that. But if that's something you want and you don't have it, then it doesn't exist yet in your world. And you'll want to create and know how to create between here and there. So that one day you can actually be moving in and actually be sitting in a chair, rubbing your feet on a beautiful rug, looking out over the mountains or the ocean or whatever you want. And it's real. It's yours. It's not a fantasy. It's for real. But if we've been escaping and avoiding, hard truth is this. This place called Eve. There's a great article in your library called Curing the Eve Disease. You want to go and listen to that. Curing the Eve Disease. Eve doesn't exist. There is no such place on this planet. If you could, at least for a moment, suspend all of the ways you've been thinking and just be open to that possibility. There's no such place as ease. Don't be discouraged. We wrote a tagline this week for a campaign that we're doing that says, creating success in your world is not as hard as you think. What's hard is trying to find an easy way while growing increasingly broke broken and angry. You see, if we keep trying to think about secret desires and then wanting to escape to them, if that's what we're doing, we are setting ourselves up for disaster because it will never manifest. Tanya just had to leave because she had another commitment tonight, so she said she'd listen to the rest of the call. Okay, back to where we were. Now, if that's true, if we must do the creation between where we are and the when, we create the when, how can we make that as easy as possible? That's the question tonight. How can we create as easy as it is possible? Not something that's impossible. Well, I don't want to do that. That's too hard. That's not the option. We either choose to engage and do it as easy as it can be done, or we disengage. Because if we continue to search for ease, you'll leave this company and go to another, and then to another, and then to another, and then to another, always looking for one that will build itself without you having to do what's required. Again, don't be offended by that. Some of you may have already been through that process, and you're here. You're here with us tonight because you're finally ready to become an intentional creator. How exciting is this? So I'm going to do all I can in the next 30 minutes to take you to the next level. So here we are sitting in the now. What intentional creators do is the now is their home base. This is their home base. This is the place they live. Now, some have spent so much time up there in fantasy in that gap, fantasizing, catastrophizing, worrying, fretting, all the things we can do where we're wasting time, that it's a really strange place to be here in the now. In the weeks to come, I'll teach you about power sessions and how to start being more present in the now and finding how difficult it is to discipline yourself to be here. We're going to walk you through what you want to do while you're here, because here you are in the now and you're fully present. The next piece that you're going to want to address is what we call the law of partnership. And that is to acknowledge that there is a power greater than you. Just want you to be open to that. What you want to call that power is okay with me. And it's been my experience that that power is not offended. It's beyond being offended. It's unconditional. Now that happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ for me. That may not be for you. But acknowledge that there is a power. And when we acknowledge that power, give it a name, whatever your name is. I've heard 100 names as I've spoken around the country. Give it a name. After you've given it a name, identify its mission. What is its mission? What is the mission of this power? Just write down some ideas. I've heard love, abundance, joy, forgiveness, all kinds of wonderful things. When it all boils down to it, this power wants us to be abundant, wants us to experience joy in this life. It also knows there are some laws that govern that abundance and govern that joy. Once we know what its mission is, this may sound presumptuous, but I'm going to recommend to you that you make the decision to become its partner in doing that very thing. If its mission is to bring abundance to the lives of others, what would happen if you dedicated the rest of your life to bringing abundance to other people? As applied in your family, as applied with your friends, and applied in your business. You see, when you bring abundance to the lives of other people in your business, you get paid. What a wonderful model. And you are in a people business, so you're blessing the lives of people. When that is your desire to be a partner with that power in bringing abundance to the lives of other people, when you've reached that point, Now the five ways in which you can create passion will come alive. They are dependent on what I've shared with you so far. You get clear about what your secret desires are. You get clear about whether you've wanted to escape and avoid or whether you want to engage and embrace, connect with people, create value, and contribute to the world. Whether you've made a conscious decision to acknowledge a power greater than yourself, call it what you wish, but know that its mission is to bring abundance and joy to the human race, and now you're going to join it as a partner in bringing that abundance. With that basis, I can now share with you the five ways in which passion are ignited, because those are the elements. Now, before I do that, are there any questions anyone has before we proceed? Okay. If one comes up, just say, Dave, 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 and we'll acknowledge you and you can ask the question. We have a very active imagination. 97% of the people who are actively seeking financial abundance, very active imagination, very active, very vivid visualization. Now, when visualization is taught by a leader, and 98% of the people are using the visualization to escape and avoid, what's the likelihood those people will become productive? The answer is very slim. And so the answer has always been, ooh, then let's teach visualization with even more intention. There's something about it they're not getting. So let's really teach it this time. To someone who fantasizes, that means I need to fantasize with more intention. I need to sit in my easy chair and visualize that Lamborghini with all of my intention to see if it'll just manifest in that garage. We know in the ancient days there was a thing called alchemy, a belief that coal could be turned into gold. We actually believe that. Many did. That it took intention, it took focus and energy, and like taking your fingers and pointing at it as if you could send energy through the ends of your fingers and pull the heavens down and somehow you'd turn that coal into gold. Never worked. But out of alchemy came chemistry and the periodic table. And we also learned that coal gets turned into a diamond through a process called perturbation, which is extreme heat and pressure. And every one of us can be turned into a diamond if we're willing to submit to the heat and the pressure. So all of the intention in the world focused on a visualization will never, this is emphatic, will never manifest tangible reality. Now that's in the face of some really wonderful people who write differently. I just want you to ask yourself, if you've been practicing it, is it working? How is your business really doing? I've had some people so reluctant to give up that possibility. But I'm about to show you how that power does manifest. Because it does, miraculously, but not tangible reality. I mentioned this briefly just last week at the end of our call. The very first mental process we want to go through is called mental rehearsal. Mental rehearsal has all the same elements of fantasy. It's vivid. It unfolds. No one needs to tell you how to do it. You don't need to make it up. It unfolds. The difference being that when we're in fantasy, our desire is to escape. We want so badly to be there when we're rich, and then we'll have this. We want so badly to be there. No one needs to tell you the color of the car. Or the temperature of the tile on your feet. No one need tell you. It'll unfold. Here, in mental rehearsal, our desire is to bring abundance to the lives of another person. We want so badly to bless their lives, to bring abundance to their lives, because we know the more people we do that with, the stronger our organization will be. And we'll make more money, too. We have this burning desire. And so we go into mental rehearsal. And the purpose of mental rehearsal is to have an experience. The power that governs abundance, when we go into this sacred space, free of fantasy and free of catastrophe, free of fear, just to be instructed, will unfold for us ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. That's what it manifests. And when it does, you'll know that it has, because you'll be so excited to get back here to reality as quickly as you can and begin creating the millimeters of that vision. So a mental rehearsal is like fantasy, very vivid, very alive, very organic, flowing. And what drives it is a desire to find the answers. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Let's write those three questions down. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And in that space of mental creation, we will have revealed to us, manifest to us, ideas we have never considered, impressions we've never had, solutions. This is Jack Canfield in The Secret when he talked about getting the million-dollar idea in the shower. It didn't manifest the idea. Manifest the material reality, the tangible reality of the idea, but the power clearly manifests the idea. An impression so strong, so clear, that you know exactly what needs to be done to make it happen. That's mental rehearsal. Now, I'm going to encourage you this week, if you've got a tough meeting, to close your eyes and put yourself in the shoes of that person that you're going to talk to on the phone or meet with in person. Put yourself in their shoes and really feel what they're feeling. See what they're seeing. We talked about this briefly last week in terms of very difficult situations in relationships. You'll be surprised what you find out if you'll truly surrender to that power and let it teach you about that person. Don't go with an agenda. Don't go with a script already written. Go to experience, because the impression you'll want to listen to and follow. That's one. Second way, it's called inspiration. I'm going to encourage everyone on the phone tonight to do this week. Start your day with this statement to your partner. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. Anyone. There's no strings attached here. You see, when you've got the power that governs abundance as a partner, a little service doesn't hurt. And be conscious throughout the day. This next week, be very conscious. Oh, I would love to get some emails on this. Dave, I was pondering and this name came into my mind. I was doing an assessment debrief this afternoon. And we were going through this process. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And he got really emotional as we're going through the process. I said, what happened? And he said, the very person I'm thinking about is trying to call me right now. I got a tingle down my spine because he got one too. He said, is that weird or what? I said, no. The universe is all connected. This power that governs abundance. We just got done talking about how he's not a really big religious guy in a church. He believes in living his belief of honoring people, being kind to people. He wants to live it all week long. Just a wonderful human being. And when I started to share this concept with him, it was no question to me that the universe opened up that experience for him and just spoke and said, see, I am here. I am here. Trust this impression. Act on it, and you will trust me, and I can have greater trust in you, and the greater trust in you, the more likely I can put you in situations where you can have tremendous impact on people's lives if I can trust you. I'll give you that impression. We'll start it this week. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I'll serve them. They can be very dramatic moments. They can be very simple moments. But don't let a day, a whole day go by without reaching out to someone. My instruction to him was, got all these people on the front line of your organization. Every morning, get up and ponder every one of them just for a moment. There's only 15 of them. Does one of them come off the page? Does something resonate? Does something speak to you they need to hear from you today? Because if it does, this is my promise. You'll call and you'll say, how you doing? And they'll say, I'm doing great. Well, every morning I ask my partner, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And your name has been on my heart. Why? Can you feel the silence? Then you'll hear something like, do you really want to know? Or, gosh, he really does want to know. Somebody cares. And when you get done, you'll know why you called. You'll know you were inspired to call. You'll look up to those heavens and be grateful to your partner with a new connection. And you'll trust those impressions even more when they come again. And you can also say to that person, isn't it nice that someone knows your name? Isn't it nice that someone knows your name? You're important. You're valuable. You matter. Evidenced by the fact that I felt impressed to call you, and you needed exactly what I have. How cool is that? That power knows your name. That's the second use. Third, exploration. Exploration is an opportunity for us to use the power of our mind and consciousness to explore in our mind without making tangible commitments. Now, many of you on the phone, maybe you've remodeled a bathroom or a house. You can kind of see how you'd like the bathroom laid out before you ever pick up a hammer. I can tell you right now, you can design marketing programs that way. You can write advertising that way. You can explore possibilities and then go mentally rehearse it. And in mental rehearsal, ask your partner to come and join you. And imagine someone reading that ad. What moved them? What didn't? Go back, rewrite it. It's like an Etch-a-Sketch. You're not committed to anything. You haven't picked up, you haven't sent the ad in, you haven't paid the money for it yet. You haven't done anything other than lived it with such clarity with your partner guiding your thoughts. Oh, when someone catches on this vision, I've had so many clients say to me, Dave, I wrote this Craigslist ad. It just spoke to me. I could feel it. I mentally rehearsed it. I could see these people opening it up and reading it. And I put it on. Somebody blacklisted it or whatever you call it in 2 hours, but I got 30 leads. Of course you did. That power knows who needs your message. If you give them the right message, which you can learn when you're exploring. Just keep putting yourself in their shoes. Keep searching. I want to find a way to reach them. I want to find a way to touch their heart. I want to find a way to motivate them, to inspire them. What could I say? Explore and explore and explore. And mentally rehearse it until you have a confidence about it. And then test it in reality. But don't test it till you have that kind of a confirmation. You could waste your money. That's the third thing. Fourth thing. Problem solving. This part of our mind is called a systemic mind. It thinks in dualistic mathematics, which is all or nothing. It's like the polar opposites on a magnet, positive, negative. There's nothing in between. It's positive or negative. That's how the mind is processing. And when you've got something that's you can't figure out, there's a problem that can't be figured out, the mind cannot stop thinking about it till it solves it. Expect yourself to wake up in the morning at 3 o'clock and go, wow, there's the answer. When you go to bed at night, you might say, consciously, here's something I'm working on I can't solve. I want to turn this over to you, mind. I want you to work on this a little bit while I sleep.
I'm a Marine.
You watch. You watch it work on it.
How many did it?
So that's problem solving. The fifth is called planning and goal setting. Now, planning and goal setting is a very interesting mental exercise. Because planning and goal setting is going into the future, to the when, to get clear about what you're going to create. It's not to escape to it and go to it and then live beyond it. It's just to get clear, that's what I'm creating. I want to have a relationship with my wife that when I'm 85 years old, we're holding hands and we're so madly in love and our grandkids are still coming to see us. Matter of fact, they're coming in 5 minutes, and where are we and where are we living and what kind of life are we experiencing? Let's get really clear on what that is. Let's see it so clearly in our mind that it gets us so excited about building that kind of relationship. Then we come back into reality and we say, what could I do in the next year to build that kind of a relationship with my sweetheart? What could I do in the next quarter, in the next month, in the next week, in the next day? What could I do today to take a step closer to that kind of relationship? Could I sit down and just listen? Step into her world. Tell me more about that. Sure. I'm here. I'm a safe place. I'm not going to try to fix you. Could it be a little note? Could it be a hug where you just hold them a little bit longer? Then you kiss them and tell them how much you love them. Now, I'm speaking from a male perspective. There are many women on the call. What could you do in your relationships, whether they're committed relationships or children or friends, what could you do today? Because you will intentionally create that relationship. Well, that's what planning and goal setting about, is to get that clear vision and then work backwards to the steps necessary to actually create it. And it's interesting for you to know this. This is really dangerous to say, because I've had some people go, you gotta be kidding me. Here's the truth. People who plan and goal set like this, visually see, don't always write down their dreams. I mean, excuse me, write down their goals. They may record them in their journals, so they can go back there very quickly. Those words could trigger thoughts from their experience, but those visions are so indelibly imprinted on their mind that they don't just write goals for goal's sake. People who write down lots of goals end up usually with very long to-do lists. That's what they're creating. They're creating to-do lists. Who wants another to-do list? That's why New Year's resolutions don't last very long. They're just to-do lists. They're not born out of a vision. The vision is what ignites the passion. Well, there are the five ways. Mentally rehearse, where you go into this stage of your mind, you invite the power that governs abundance, and your intention is to bless the lives of people, and you're asking the questions, what can I create, how can I create it, how will this serve, and then just surrender to the experience. Just like you do a fantasy, except for instead of having a desire to escape, your desire is to be instructed, to be inspired, to be taught, so that you can bless the lives of people, and you watch what unfolds in your mind. You'll get ideas for meetings you've never thought about before. Ways to open up conversations on the telephone you've never considered before. Second's inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And be open to an inspiration. You may have, for whatever reason, closed the conduit between here and that higher power. Open it back up. Don't beat yourself up for past mistakes. Just, that power is still standing there waiting, whatever you want to call that power. Be open to that possibility. Because if your desire, your secret desire, is to bless the lives of people, it will instantly open up and you'll start feeling things that you haven't felt perhaps for years. And I can tell you, there's nothing more peaceful than to know that power knows your name. And you begin to develop trust. And it begins to trust you. You want to speed up creation? That power will manifest in your mind ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. when you come back to tangible reality, it will begin to manifest in another way. Now, I'm going to save that for next week. Next week, I'm going to share with you how that power manifests while you're in tangible reality, in passion-driven action. It is miraculous what can happen, but it is a natural sequence. You got a vision from that power, manifestation of an idea, impression, or solution. It ignites your passion. Parts of your brain ignite up. If you're wired to a functional MRI, parts of your brain light up you normally don't use. I mean, it is igniting something inside of you, physiologically, spiritually, emotionally, consciously. Boom, you come back here to the now, your home base where you want to be as an intentional creator, and you begin the creation process. And next week I'm going to tell you how that power shows up to speed that process up tremendously. If you're following the laws that govern that creation of being an intentional creator. So this week, do some mental rehearsal. Every time you catch yourself wanting to go over in that gap to fantasize, to stop. Say, I'm not going there today. I'm not going there today. Every time you want to catastrophize or worry because you got a car payment coming up or a house payment coming up, you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, say, stop. I'm not going there today. Because every moment you spend over there in that dark, ugly gap without light, the less time you're spending in intentional creation. Trust. That power knows what you need. Focus on serving another person. Make that your secret desire. Oh, you'll have nice cars. You'll have nice homes. You'll have nice things. There's nothing wrong with excellence. It's just not the focus. The joy is in lifting and building the people. Feel that impression. Feel that idea. Follow through on it and see if it doesn't prove to be good. When you're asking, is there anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and a name comes to your mind, have the courage to call. Then why have I been thinking about you all day? What's going on? Be there for them. Hunger to serve them. Hardly anybody does that. Be the one who does. Be the rare one. Be the one who steps into people's worlds, takes down walls of resistance, creates a safe place. Be the rare one. And we got about 2 minutes. Does anybody have a question about what we've discussed tonight? Anybody want to know how that power manifests in tangible reality?
Yes.
Yes. I'll be excited for next Tuesday night.
I can't wait.
We'll give you the other piece. And you'll see how they work together. But play with this one. Exercise this one this week. Know that an intentional creator is either fully present in the now, connecting with people, passion-driven action, or fully present in their mind or consciousness, doing one of these five activities. They're never over here in the gap. Now, I say never. We're human. Things happen. They draw us over there. But let us get out as quickly as we can. Let's consciously avoid going over there as much as we can. Because the more time you spend in this process, intentional creation, whether it's at home with your family or in your business, the quicker you will create in tangible reality your dreams. They'll be real. We'll be talking a few years from now, and you'll be saying, Dave, I did it. I created this. How glorious would that be? To actually be in the car you have on your dream board. To actually be in the house that's on the dream board. No more escape and avoid. No more living in it. A dream board, in conclusion, is a target. Is a target. It's not a place where you live. It's a target. That's where we're headed. That's not where I spend my time. Okay, any last thoughts before we wrap this up?
Dave, the steps that you outlined tonight, are they on the website somewhere yet?
They are. If you own the Seven Laws of Abundance, it's under mental rehearsal. Excuse me, under mental creation. I'm sorry, there's 5 hours on mental creation. Now, you asked a great question, as I was going to mention. You just reminded me. I am taking all of those laws and incorporating them into the 6 qualities of an intentional creator. Those are what's meant. That's what's measured in the assessment. And you get those 6 buttons at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the thought processes related to connecting with people. Here are the thought processes related to completing tasks.
Definitely.
I'm now taking all those laws and all those practices and putting them specifically into the correct 6 qualities of an intentional creator. And if you've already got the 7 laws, you will be getting that for free. It's 6 programs, actually, but you get them all because you're so gracious to buy the 7 laws. So the very first one's done, connecting with people. It'll be going up here in the next couple weeks, so it'll be there on your, if you've already bought the 7 Laws of Abundance, you'll have it in your library. It'll already be there. And then the next one will be the one we just talked about, planning your goals and expectations, and then completing tasks. The order in which we've been talking about these things tonight is the order in which I'm releasing those programs to you. So, yeah, you'll have them. Now, I know Lincoln has taken copious notes, and as usual, his notes will be posted. So if you don't have the program, you'll have the benefit of Lincoln's notes. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyone else? Well, I do hope this has been of value tonight. So you can go back from this, and tonight when you go to sleep, don't go off driving your Ferrari around the country. You want a Ferrari? Then focus on how many lives you need to change to pay for one. And mentally rehearse how you're going to find those people and serve those people. That's what's going to create the money that's going to generate a Ferrari if that's what you want. I might tell you they're not as exciting as you might think they might be. They spend more time in the shop than they are on the road. But
that was back in the early 80s.
Somebody's still selling you, aren't they? Go buy one if you want one and enjoy it. Don't crush people to get it. Serve people. Earn the money. Buy the Ferrari. Anyone else?
Can I mention one thing?
Certainly.
I happen to be just flipping through the channels. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I happen to be flipping through the channels the other night. And there was a movie on that somebody had told me was really good. And it's called The Last Holiday.
Last Holiday.
It's a little bit goofy. It's got Queen Latifah in it. But it's got a really great theme to the movie. And I got a lot out of the concept of, you know, she basically just decides that she's going to do all the things that she's always wanted to do. And seeing the joy on her face as she experiences all those things is really great.
Wonderful. Because most of you have made the decision you want to create those things. You want to have those things. And now you're making the decision you want to create them. How fun is that?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be a real rare group of people on this planet. You'll actually be living your dreams in tangible reality. That's pretty awesome. Well, everybody have a great week. I look forward to next week and walking through in great detail, creating in the millimeters of life. I'll walk you through some power sessions and how that works and how that power that governs abundance, your partner, manifests to drive your creation process and allow it to occur even quicker. We just have to give up a few things. We'll soon discover that structure and order and rules and policies and procedures are not restrictive. They are, in fact, invitations to freedom. We've been fighting some of them long enough. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Tuesday night.